So we begin with a Christian view of the Church of Scientology. Again, I know when I say words like that, some of you will become uncomfortable. I'm just using the words that they use. So instead of having to come back and every time say the so-called church, or they say that they, I'm just going to use the words that they use. You know what I hold to. You know I hold to the 1689. I know I hold to the scriptures. You know I don't really believe that this is a church. The information that I have used to prepare for this Sunday school lesson came from Walter Martin's Kingdom of the Cults. Additionally, I utilized a website called Operation Clambake. It's a website that systematically goes through aspects of Scientology and shows the areas in which there's contradictions and faults and lies. I've also watched a couple documentaries. One was by a BBC one. I think it was called Secrets of Scientology, and then a most recent one, which was done by HBO. If you choose to watch any of them, just a language warning on those. They demonstrate the truth, but there's language within these. So I'm not telling you to go sit down with your family and enjoy them, but they provided information. Here's a quote from L. Ron Hubbard from Time Magazine, April 5th, 1976. He said, "Writing for a penny a word is ridiculous. If a man wanted to make $1 million, the best way would be to start his own religion." I want to argue that that is exactly what the science fiction writer L. Ron Hubbard did, was he made his own religion, and he made a religion that was extremely financially advantageous for him. Even though when he was reaping the profits of that, he still was not content. And though he was getting great profits from this religion, he was still using even those profits to then go and search for buried treasure in the Mediterranean. Let's walk through a couple quick facts that I got from the beginning of Walter Martin's book. First, the Scientology teaches that the Bible is a byproduct of the Hindu scriptures. There's obviously no evidence for that. There's many things Scientologists will say. They'll just leave it out there. They don't have to substantiate it. They're allowed just to throw statements like that out there. L. Ron Hubbard said that the Bible is a byproduct of the Hindu scriptures, and so it's just accepted. Next, Christ is a legend that pre-existed Earth life on other planets and was implanted into humans on Earth. Jesus was just a shade above clear and was no greater than Buddha or Moses. We'll get into what some of these words mean, but I'll unpack that later. Next, God or gods may exist, but an individual must decide for himself. I did that one. Reincarnation sufficiently explains man's existence, but Scientology is the freedom from reincarnation. They don't like the word reincarnation. They like the word rebirth. And lastly, man is basically good, and in his evolution, he will finally become godlike, being known as Homo Novus. So, why teach on a subject like Scientology? I mean, all of the religions that we've talked about so far, with the exception of the one Stephen covered last week, which was the Black Hebrew Israelites, all the religions we covered so far, except for that one, I have come in personal contact with someone that is a practitioner of that religion, especially religions like Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam, Word of Faith, Roman Catholicism, atheism, humanism. These are all groups that I have had regular contact in my daily life or during periods of time during my Christian walk. So I think some of the argument that we could make for why we study those ones is that we're teaching the errors of these religions. And so since you are coming in contact with these religions, It would equip you to recognize the errors and to better respond to those people with the gospel. And so you can be involved in sharing the gospel. That doesn't exactly work with Scientology. And I don't know about you, but I can tell you personally, I have never met anyone who practiced Scientology. The truth is, there aren't many people that do practice Scientology. Although this is a group that promotes themselves as the fastest growing religion in the world, and you'll have the lights and the balloons and all the just the hoopla going around them as they're making these great declarations on the televisions and on their, you know, on the videos on the internet. It's just simply not true. Islam might be the fastest growing religion in the world. I don't believe it's because of conversions. I think it's rather because of conquest and birth rates. There's not droves of people that are just running forward to convert to Islam. Scientology is not even close. Scientology is not even close. It's not even close to the fastest growing religion in numbers. Scientologists will claim, look on their website, 8 to 10 million members, 8 to 10 million followers of Scientology. That number is contradicted by studies done by the American Religious Identification Survey, which estimates their number is closer to 25,000. It's worldwide. Insiders that have defected from the organization, and there is many. There were many that were interviewed in that last documentary I mentioned by HBO, The Going Clear One. Many of the higher ones, some that were even involved in the first documentary that I mentioned, which was the one done by the BBC that were harassing the journalist in that one, or the ones in that second one that are then being interviewed that have defected from the organization. And people that have come out have said the numbers are closer to about 40,000. So maybe 40, maybe 50,000. That's the number that I think where they are at worldwide. Despite all of the hoopla, despite all of the bragging that they do about their numbers and the rates at which they are growing, it's incredible what you can do with media to give a completely different perspective from what is really there. And that, by the way, there's just 40 to 50,000 members practicing Scientology worldwide. That would explain why you've never met anyone that's a Scientologist. I'll ask that real quick. Is there anyone here who has ever known anyone who is a Scientologist? Okay, I've got one person. I'll come ask you about that. Oh, I've got two. Okay. Well, I need to get out more because I have not met a Scientologist, and I feel like I've talked to a lot of people. The Scientology website claims that they have 11,000 organizations worldwide. An organization is a large meeting and training facility. However, when you begin to go through that exact website and find organizations, you're going to find about 148. They also have missions. For instance, in Houston, they don't have an organization. They have a mission. It's only about 343 of those that you can find. And even of those, many of those can't even be found. I looked on the missions website, the Scientology mission of Houston's website, and they said they're open all week. We're open from 7 to 10, Monday through Thursday, except Thursday it was like 7 to 9:30. They closed 30 minutes early. And then Saturday and Sunday, they're open from like 8 to 5. And then there's a note under it. Please make sure you make an appointment. Don't know they're as busy as they're making themselves out to be. Looked on their Facebook account. hasn't had a post since February of 2014. Leading up to that, there was all this talk about this growing mission that's happening in Houston, February 2014. Nothing after that. I don't think there's a lot going on with that group. That's my suspicion. Perhaps when I'm in the area, I may just see if the door even opens. I have my suspicion at this point is that you call, and then the office will open and meet you there during that time. Not that this is something that is always open in there. But therefore, for a group that is just merely 40 to 50,000 people in a world of 7 billion, a country of the United States at 330 million, why discuss it? I want to make an argument with the modern media. They've been able to project themselves in a much larger way than they actually are. And one of the ways that they do this is an emphasis upon celebrities. I'm going to throw a couple celebrities up here. Some of them I know, some of them I don't. A bunch of them I didn't even put up there. There's an incredible amount of celebrities that are involved in Scientology. It's really odd. One, probably the most famous, is going to be Tom Cruise. John Travolta, there's another one, Christy Alley, Will Smith, I think his whole family is involved, Elizabeth Moss, the singer Beck, and the journalist Greta Van Susteren. Many of these people, I don't know. I hope you're not, you can be familiar with them. I'm not telling you to go watch all of their movies because you probably shouldn't. But I think it's incredible the amount of celebrities that are involved in Scientology and just the per capita amount. It far exceeds that of the general population. I had no way to come up with a per capita, but just by seeing the list of those that are involved, I know the per capita is much higher when you're looking at the numbers that they have. This is a religion that has a great impact upon the media of the world. There's been movies that are impacted by their narratives and their theology, their anthropology. And so I think that's one reason that is a good reason for us to discuss this, is just the mere influence that this has upon the media within our society. And I also think we should be involved in the business of exposing religious lies. And I'm influenced from James R. White in this area. And I've seen James R. White, and I'm not going to start doing this, but I've seen him do this, where he'll just spend one of his podcasts dealing with someone you would think is just this insignificant guy on YouTube that had made some theological error, and he'll just respond to him and give point by point, this is why this is wrong, this is why this is wrong. And he makes the point that we need to be doing this. And he goes so far as argue, we should have had someone that was more involved in doing this with so many of these heretics that happened in the past. When Joseph Smith was there, someone should have been more involved. Instead, he argues that some at the time had ignored him until his popularity had grown. And so I think there is a case whereby we can do this. We wouldn't have done this on its own had we not already been involved in going through the cults and the world religions. And so for that reason, I went ahead and just threw this one in there. So the first person we're going to talk about is the founder, L. Ron Hubbard. Let me just start with a couple quotes from him. There's a quote from Scientology, the Anatomy of a Frightening Cult by Eugene H. Methvin. He says, and he quotes him saying, writing for a penny a word is ridiculous. If a man wants to make $1 million, the best way would be to start his own religion. And again, here's another quote in the a quote that he made at the Los Angeles Science Fantasy Society Clubhouse in the 1940s. He says, you all know we're all wasting our time writing this hack science fiction. If you want to make real money, you've got to start a religion. And again, in Los Angeles Times, August 27th, 1978, writing for a penny a word is ridiculous. If a man wanted to make $1 million, the best way to do it would be to start his own religion. And again, coming from the thrilling science fiction magazine, he says, I always knew he was, this is a quote about him, I always knew he was exceedingly anxious to get to hit big money. He used to say that he thought the best way to do it would be to start a religion. And then again, it's a quote from Neeson Himmel about him, who was a roommate of Hubbard. He says, whenever he was talking about being hard up, he often used to say that he thought the easiest way to make money would be to start a religion. The last quote comes from Time Magazine. I think it's the one I gave earlier. Writing for a penny a word is ridiculous. If a man wanted to make $1 million, the best way would be to start his own religion. There's more quotes than just this. I just gave you a few of them. But L. Ron Hubbard was a popular science fiction writer in the 1930s and the 1940s. He wrote what's known as pulp fiction, which is kind of a very cheaply made book. They were written to just kind of be read through and thrown away. They didn't last a long time, and so the writers had to keep producing and producing and producing. And that is something that he was really good at. He had an incredible gift for just coming up with stories and writing lots of words. He reminds me of Joseph Smith in this respect, just the ability to just produce fantastic stories. And I think that's what Joseph Smith did in the Book of Mormon and many of his other writings, was just write these just incredible tales with these details. Nothing factual, but just this story. That's what Hubbard did. He published over 15 million words of science fiction writing, over 25 million words in Scientology writing. He holds the Guinness Book of World Records for the most published books. He's a man who was not an honest man. There's many ways in which we can find areas in which he lied. He claims to have been highly educated. He wasn't. He was kicked out of college on an academic probation, claims he has degrees from Sequoia University. It wasn't a real university. It was a two-story house that produced diplomas. It was shut down by the California legislature. He dabbled in a lot of different mystery religions. He got involved in something called the OTO, the Old Temple Orientis. It's a group that followed the teachings of a man named Aleister Crowley. He is a writer of the Satanic Verses. He got involved in all kinds of foolishness that we're not getting into here at this time. But his big writing of religion was this book here, Dianetics. I don't think he originally wrote it for the purpose of being religious. My opinion is that he originally wrote this for the purpose of trying to, you know, have a modern scientific psychological theory that would answer the problems of man. And that's how he presented it at first. When it began to wane, he repackaged it as a religion known as Scientology. Here's a quote in Dianetics of where he got his information. He says he got it from the medicine man of the Goldie people of Manchuria, the shamans of the North Borneo, the Suex Medicine Man, the Cult of Los Angeles, modern psychology. Among people questions about its existence was the magician whose ancestors served in the court of the Kublai Khan and a Hindu who could hypnotize cats. Babbles have been made in mysticism. Data had been studied from mythology to spiritualism. Dianetics, the evolution of science, is where this quote comes from. This is where he got his information of how he put this religion together. It is my opinion that this is a religion that combines Zen Buddhism, Freudian psychology, and some science fiction, and maybe a little bit of wisdom pulled from, the Bible and maybe other sources, and just kind of mixes it all together and along with evolutionary science. And that's how you get Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard believed that he was the one who had really been able to piece this puzzle together. He was the one that after mankind's existence, you know, even greater than all of these so-called great religious men of the past, he is the one that was really able to figure this puzzle out. And he believed that this was going to be that which was going to help mankind break this cycle, break this, not reincarnation is the word they want to use, but rebirth, this continual rebirth that keeps happening. I hope this is reminding you of a religious figure that we studied before, because that was Buddha's big problem. He wanted to find a way to break this reincarnation cycle. And so he realized you have to go down this middle path. You have to separate yourself from desire. And then within doing that, you can then go on and join with the void and not continue to go through this same cycle. His science, to his surprise, his science was not accepted by modern psychology or medicine. It was pretty much laughed out of the room as just a complete joke. His religion came under great fire very soon after it began. And he then was beginning to get called into court from various countries throughout the world. And he then decided to create an organization within Scientology known as the Sea Org. And what he did was he commandeered a ship and convinced many people to go on the ship and work for him pretty much for free. And he sailed around and ran his organization from there. As he was sailing around the world, he went ahead and went to the Mediterranean. He spent a lot of time in the Mediterranean. He believed that he was a Phoenician prince in his past life, and he was sailing around the Mediterranean looking for lost treasure that he believed he had buried. He never found that treasure, and he never found that treasure because he wasn't a Phoenician prince. Last years of his life were spent in seclusion, and he operated the church out of seclusion. He pretty much lived in an RV, died of a stroke in the 1980s, which doesn't make any sense because this is the guy that wrote Dianetics. This is the founder of Scientology. This is the one that had found all the solutions to our problems, so they had to repackage his death. Although his death certificate says he died of a stroke, that's not what happened. They declared that he just shed his body. It was time for him to move on, to go on to higher levels of research, and so that's what they did. They created this new narrative, and that's what happened. He shed his body, and he's gone on to some other level of research. It's not true. He died. He died, just like everyone else dies. Scientology's beliefs. Let's walk through some of their beliefs. This is off of their website, by the way. Man is an immortal spiritual being. Secondly, his experience extends well beyond a single lifetime. Three, his capabilities are unlimited, even if not presently realized. Fourthly, Scientology further holds that man to be basically good, and that his spiritual salvation depends upon himself and his fellows and his attainment of the brotherhood with the universe. Next, Scientology is not a dogmatic religion in which one is asked to accept anything on faith alone. That's not true. You're going to see in a little bit. You probably already can see that as it is. I think we've said enough that there's much here that's going to have to be accepted not upon rational thinking or upon scientific understanding or upon even experience, but rather this is something that has to be accepted dogmatically and by faith. But that said, on the contrary, one discovers for oneself the principles of Scientology that are true by applying its principles and observing or experiencing the results. Next, the ultimate goal of Scientology is true spiritual enlightenment and freedom for all, and this is a big push for them. They have a strong utilitarian viewpoint, so they're going to do that which will accomplish the most, the best for the most people, and also very pragmatic. You know, that which they need to do, they will accomplish for their church, regardless who they have to harm, regardless of what they have to do to get that done. They're pragmatic and the utilitarian at their foundation. They're not operating from a set like the moral law that we have in Christianity, where there's boundaries and where you're able to act. They don't have these kinds of boundaries. Their view on gods or God, they believe there's an all-powerful, impersonal force. They believe that, you know, you could believe in gods or not. That's basically your determination. So there may or may not be gods. You have to make that decision for yourself. There's no emphasis in this religion upon any kind of worship of a deity. If that's what you want to do, you go ahead and do that. It's not something that they're going to lead you in. This is completely man-centered, completely leading you on this journey. Very similar, I believe, to Buddhism. One of my big criticisms of Buddhism is it's a very self-focused, selfish religion. It's just about me and my walk and what I'm doing. This is a complete contradiction from the God of the Bible. Relativism in regards to God. Existence of God is not something that you can decide for yourself. God has to be the starting point. He has to be that which is first. And if he's not first, he's not there at all. He's not something you just kind of bring in later on. A religion that begins with man instead of God denies God. It is atheistic. Man. They believe that humans are immortal beings. I'm going to begin to walk into some of their terminology. They have very weird terminology, and I have done my best to make this religion as least complicated as I can. This is the most complicated religion that I've ever seen. And not only is it complicated, they have this whole series of this whole religious jargon that only makes sense to them. Yes. Yeah, there's a whole lot you're going to have to. We haven't even gotten to the fun stuff yet. Humans are immortal beings. They're thetons. A theton, according to them, is a. By the way, some of these words I'm going to use, like theton, these are words that showed up in his science fiction writing prior. He just kind of threw some of these words in there. Funny, you see that with Joseph Smith too. Stories that people told about Joseph Smith, like, hey, wait a minute, you used that word over here already in the story you told us around the dinner table. But they hold that people are thetons. They've existed for many lives prior to this, millions and millions of years prior. They hold that when people die, they go through a rebirth. They come back because they don't like reincarnation, because reincarnation, you come back as anything. Well, you don't come back as anything. You come back as a human because you're a human. You're distinct from animals. That's a very strong belief that they have. There's a distinction from animals. That's why they believe psychiatry is so evil. I agree that there's some problems with psychiatry. I think they take it a level too far, and psychiatry is basically the Antichrist to Scientologists. You can have nothing as a Scientologist to do with anyone that is a psychiatrist. If you that is a member of your family, you've got to disconnect from them. Can't have anything to do with them. That's something that happened with I'm not saying this. I'm just going to tell you. So just as a story, Tom Cruise's first marriage with Nicole Kidman, her father was a psychiatrist. Well, that was a big problem when Tom Cruise became a member of the Church of Scientology. So she needed to separate from her father. She said, I'm not going to do that. Okay, so then their solution is, okay, we got to separate Tom Cruise from Nicole Kidman. They have testimony from higher people in Scientology that have defected that said, yes, we purposely went and broke up their marriage. We tried to find as much dirt as we could on her. We tried to put as many things in to break up their marriage, and they ended up breaking up their marriage. That was their goal. They cannot have any contact with someone. That's how serious they feel about psychiatry. They also believe that men are essentially good. That's something else, by the way, that contradicts the Bible. This idea that you're just reborn contradicts the Bible, and that to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. God has given a time for a man to die, and then the judgment. Okay? And it's essentially not good. The Bible says man is not good. It says the human heart is desperately wicked. So what's man's problem, according to Scientology? Man's main problem is that although he does not remember all of his past lives, the negative and painful experiences within those lives affect him. They're known as engrams. So you have these engrams, according to Scientology, that are affecting you. And these are all the negative experiences that have happened throughout your whole existence and all these other lives that you have been in. And they keep him from living up to his full potential and keep him from having, they cause him to have a reactive mind. Think of that like in Buddhism, this desire is something that you need to separate from. This reactive mind is being influenced by these things that happen to you, and they keep you from going through a rebirth and becoming what is known as homo novus. It just reminds me of Freudian psychology, except just not Freudian psychology, because Freudian psychology tells you that so many of your problems that happen because of negative experiences that happened within your past life, right? And so then you've got to go through his psychological therapy, and then he'll walk you through all of these times and then work you through them. Well, this isn't just that. This is all of these rebirths that you've had for these millions and millions of years. And so man has these problems because of these engrams of his past lives, and they plague him. They don't just plague him, they plague all of humanity. So Scientology is here to bring all humanity into what they call the clear. The clear is this, okay, I no longer have these negative experiences from my past lives, these engrams that are affecting me anymore. And they believe that they're going to bring forward this time where everyone is going to be in the clear. This is a contradiction of what the scriptures say is our true problem. The scriptures say our true problem is our sin. It's not the negative experiences in our lives. It's not the negative experiences in millions of lives before. And this is not even true. They never happened. So what's their solution? Scientology is the solution. It is the only solution they believe is going to allow man to break this cycle. And Hubbard believes he's the only one that came up with this solution. This is the most modern religion that we're going to cover, with the exception of the International Church of Christ. When we talk about them, that one was started in the 1970s. By the way, not to be confused with the Church of Christ, the denomination that calls himself that, but the International Church of Christ, which is a cult subgroup. Scientology is the most recent one that we will cover, although they claim to know the history of what happened up to 75 million years ago. This is a very expensive religion. To make it through all of these courses, it can cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars. They call these donations, but if I have to pay in order to get something, it's called purchasing it. It's not called donating it, because if you don't donate the money, you don't get to go through the courses. If you don't go through the courses, you don't go through the strategic set of going through this, you're not going to remove your engrams that are plaguing you, and then you're not going to reach your highest potential, and then you're just going to continue in the cycle of rebirth. Yes? It is. It is a charitable organization. They received, they almost got shut down. I think it's in the 90s or 2000, and they almost got shut down by the IRS, And Scientology was very shrewd, and I believe they got a lot of dirt on a lot of IRS agents. That's my opinion. I don't have anything to support that, but I just, looking at how they do things, I could just see that's how they would do it. And they also filed thousands of lawsuits all at once. So they filed lawsuits on the IRS. Not just that, they went and filed lawsuits on every single IRS agent by multiple people. So these IRS agents were like spinning in litigation. And the conversation was between the leader, well, if you'll just give us a tax-exempt status, all the lawsuits are going to go away. But after that, all the lawsuits went away. They've got their tax-exempt status, and they're sitting on about $3.5 billion worth of assets at this point. This is a religion that's not a religion of grace through faith like Christianity. This is a religion where you're working out, you know, this is works-based religion, and what they lead you to do can in no way help you with your sin. So it leads us to this pathway to their answer is what is known as the bridge. Let me see. You know what? It doesn't even matter what is on this paper. All that you need to know about this paper is that there is a lot of stuff on this paper, and you can at least discern there's all these little boxes. And with all these little boxes, those are just different levels and steps that cost you hundreds to thousands of dollars to get through them in multiple hours to make it through them, some of which, I mean, they could take you months and years to get through them. And that is their pathway. I never really got into the game, but I know people that did, and I know the effect that this particular game had on a lot of people, and I think there's a similarity in religion between what we have here and in a game that was, I don't know if it's as popular now, but for a while it was called World of Warcraft, and it was this game where people would pay monthly and they would play this. It was kind of a role-playing game where you would, you know, you'd be a warrior or a magician or whatever, and you'd go around and you'd fight and go through these different storylines. And there was always something new. I was fascinated by this, by how it had affected people's lives, because there were grown men who had college degrees, some of them graduate degrees, and they were spending 30 to 80 hours a week playing this role-playing game, World of Warcraft, and spending money and just wasting their time, and they're losing their jobs. Some of them are wrecking their marriages, going to counseling, all because they chose to engage in this video game instead of engaging in the real world. And there was something special about this particular game. And you could do that with a lot of games, but this one in particular really seemed to captivate a lot of people. And I think it's because they really had the psychology down to a science of just a carrot and a reward, just that right amount of carrot and reward. And that's kind of what you have here. You've kind of, what you hope to accomplish, you didn't quite get, but then, oh, it's going to be the next time. And you just keep going up this ladder known as the bridge with this desire to reach this point of clear, which is right about, and you can't see it, but it's halfway through the second half over there is where you reach clear. That's where your engrams are all gone and you no longer have these problems that had been plaguing you, these negative experiences for all of your millions of years of existence. But then, well, it keeps going, and we'll go over what that happens a little bit. But I had a friend that had gotten into this game, and he had to break away. He finally, what he did, he just went and deleted everything. He just deleted all of his characters, just got rid of it all, walked away from it, canceled his account. And what had really gotten him in this, because I was talking to him before and I was like, hey, man, just stop playing this game. And he's like, well, look, I've I've got these characters and I've really built them up. I've spent a lot of time in this. I've spent a lot of money. I was like, yeah, man, you spend like $20 a month on it. Just let it go. Quit paying it. He said, oh, no. I said, I've bought a lot of their, you know, weapons and stuff. I'm like, sure. But it wasn't real gold, right? You just earned it in the game. And he said, no. I spent real money. I went on eBay. And so my friend had gotten to the point where he was going online buying virtual weapons for his characters in this game so he could play even more and play even longer. And he was spending many, many hours, and it was causing him problems in his relationships. It was causing him problems at work. He was beginning to recognize this. And I was like, look, man, you just need to let this go. And he's like, why are you playing it so much? He said, I want to make sure I'm getting my money's worth. I was like, you're doing the opposite of getting your money's worth. You're costing yourself money. He said, yeah, I know I am. I know this is bad, but he said, I've just invested so much in this game so far. But he didn't really have anything. There wasn't anything really there. He had paid this monthly fee. He'd spent a lot of time building up these virtual people. Maybe he went and spent real money getting these virtual swords that did something awesome that he wanted them to do in the game, but he didn't really have anything. And I think that's what you have here. People walk through this, you know, and you may be discouraged walking through it, but it's like, well, I've already spent all this money. I've already invested all of this. People will just keep going because it's hard to walk away, even though they're disillusioned. Did you have something to say? This is not a game. I was comparing this religion of Scientology in this roadmap they have to the game The World of Warcraft. That's all I was doing. Just saying that. Yes, it is. Yeah, each of these little boxes are hundreds or thousands of dollars. You just kind of walk up them. And so the main way that this is done is through something known as auditing, and this is how they work to remove your engrams, and they use something called an e-meter. And what this e-meter does is basically a really crude lie detector test, but an auditor will sit down with you just like that. Doesn't it look so happy and content? And you will share with them all of the painful experiences from your past. Not just your painful experience, all the dirt that you've ever done, everything that you've ever done, and the other person will sit across the table and take very serious notes on that. If you are a celebrity, they make sure that there are microphones in the room, and they make sure that there are video cameras in the room. And I want to point out, this is something that I've always thought was dangerous with confession in Roman Catholicism, is that you just spilling your dirt for someone, and there's such an opportunity for someone to be blackmailed. Now, I don't have any evidence that ever happened in the Roman Catholic Church, but I just see that as something that I know the heart of men. The Roman Catholic Church, how do you even know that's a priest in the other side of the booth when you're even talking to him? Well, here it's just in plain sight, and they keep these large records throughout your whole time in Scientology, and there's been reports of people that have defected that these auditing sessions come back on them. And there's been reports where someone will take when they didn't like a marriage that two people were in, they will take an auditing session from one spouse and bring it to the other with the desire to separate that marriage and bring those two people apart. But this is how they believe that you remove these engrams, is they can look at this and recognize where you have these negative experiences, allow you to focus in on them, and supposedly takes them away. Organization and social structure of the Church of Scientology. The organizational structure of the Church of Scientology, I would describe it as a cumbersome bureaucracy. It's multi-leveled, and the people have multiple bosses for individual people. However, despite all of this cumbersome bureaucracy, there is someone on the top. There's this picture. David Miscavige. He's the one that took over for L. Ron Hubbard. And he's the chairman of the board, and he has supreme executive authority to give declarations. And when he gives them, those that are in it have to follow as he has said, especially those that are members of this group here, the C organization. That C organization that I mentioned earlier that had sailed around with L. Ron Hubbard, well, they came to land. They don't sail around in ships anymore. Now they just work on the land, and they promise to submit to the Church of Scientology, as you will see here, for a contract of 1 billion years. They sign a 1 billion-year contract with the Church of Scientology, so it's not just the life that they're in now, it's all of their reoccurring lives. They're not going and getting more people. This is the contract that they signed, though. Here's a recruiting poster for the Sea Org. It says, as a Scientologist, you're one of the relatively few that hold the answers in your possession that all mankind factually depend on. People are screaming for our help, and we have the technology to provide that help. You could make a difference. You could contribute to planetary clearing, to be removing all of these engrams from all of humanity, and bring sanity to the planet that desperately needs our help. And so they call you to join the Sea Org, and it's a very regimented, very controlled. This is the most, you hear about cults like Jim Jones and David Koresh and these kind of leadership structures where you have people that allow themselves voluntarily to be in these very awkward and difficult social structures where they basically are giving up their civil rights, they're working for free times, putting themselves in very terrible living conditions, violating their conscience in the things that they do. The C organization is areas where this happens. These people are working for estimated between 5 and 40 cents an hour. Not supposed to have children. There's reports that when someone gets pregnant, they're told, and there's many reports of this, that you either have to have an abortion or you have to leave. And so then when they leave, they're breaking their billion-year contract, and now they can no longer have any services from Scientology ever. So now they're going to be continually stuck in this state of rebirth. And so through this social structure they set up, they have very strong control over these people. They also, like I told you before, the ends justify the means. And L. Ron Hubbard said that anyone that would speak against the church is fair game. And so fair game means by all means necessary, whatever that we need to do to accomplish what we need to accomplish. And this is the part of the group that will work to accomplish that needs to be accomplished. Next, the Genesis narrative. Genesis narrative isn't shared with them until you get to over here on the bridge. It's up there on the upper right-hand portion. So you can see, imagine you start at the bottom, you went all the way up, and right about the middle, see right about there? It's called OT3. That's where you get to this Genesis narrative. And it's not till then that you get to it. Most religions give you the Genesis narrative at the beginning of the religion, and it's something that can be easily learned. It goes together really well with the religion. Scientology is distinct from this. The Genesis narrative of Scientology is not revealed to the practitioner until they reach OT3. Just so you understand, the person, before they reach this level of OT, which is called an operating fate. And what that means is the person's reached their full potential. They've removed all these engrams. They've reached this level of clear. Well, the person has accomplished all that they need to accomplish. Why do they need to keep paying you money? That's my opinion on this. That's why I think this Genesis narrative was necessary. It's at OT3 that you then begin, because think about it, once you reach clear, that person still has problems. They still get headaches. They still get sick. They still die. They still have sin. All these problems as a human that they have are still there. They haven't been vanquished. So the person is probably getting disillusioned, but I'm clear. Why do I still have these problems? This is why you have these problems. They explain it to you. This is directly from the website, not from the Scientology website. This is not something they like to share. This is supposed to be a secret that supposedly if this gets out, it can lead people to go insane because they can't handle it. It's not going to lead you to go insane. You're going to hear it. You're going to think it's insane. So here's the quote of what you find out at OT3. The head of the Galactic Confederation, which is 76 planets around larger stars, founded about 95 million years ago, solved this overpopulation problem because they had 250 billion people per planet, and by mass implanting. And so what he caused people to be brought to Tigarak. Tigarak is what he calls Earth. Earth became a prison planet. And he put a hydrogen bomb in the principal volcanoes with the people in there. And so the Pacific area, the ones were taken to the boxes to Hawaii. The Atlantic area ones were taken to Las Palmas, and they're packaged. This is the name of the alien warlord. His name was Xenu. He used renegades, various misleading data by means of circuits, and they were placed in the implants. When through the crime of loyal officers to the people, captured them after 6 years of battle, they put him in an electronic mountain trap where he still is. They're gone. The place has since been a desert. I've packed this for you. Here's what this means to you as someone who is now clear. What this means is the reason why you're still having these problems that you're having is because 95 million years ago, there was an alien warlord named Xenu, and Xenu took these prisoners, brought them to Earth, and used Earth as a prison planet, placed these prisoners in volcanoes. The volcanoes do what? Well, they erupt. And so when those erupted, obviously their bodies were destroyed, but their spirits just continued to be there. So we have these thetans just flying all around us, all over the place. And what these thetans do, this is what they find out in OT3, they stick to your body and they stick to your spirit. And then that's what's causing your problems. That's why you're still getting headaches. That's why you're still getting sick. That's why you're still having these problems. So now they have these series of courses that you continue to go up this bridge whereby you can remove these thetans that are affecting you because you're clear now. You don't have your engrams that are affecting you from all these lives past. Now you have these thetans that are affecting you. To which I want to give the quote from G.K. Chesterton. When a man chooses not to believe in God, they do not thereafter believe in nothing. They then become capable of believing anything. That's what happens. That's what happens. You deny God, it is a downward spiral. There's no end to the amount whereby you can fall other than God's gracious hand in keeping you from falling any farther. Yes, this is what this religion believes, even though they will lie and say they don't. There have been numerous people that have come out and given this exact story. There's not a giant conspiracy against this group trying to make this up against them. This is what they hold to. The people just continue to hold on to this foolishness. Romans chapter 1, as we've read many times, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. That's the first problem. It is a suppression of the truth. Already knowing there is a God and that we are guilty to him, this religion first and foremost calls you to suppress that truth. Because what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown to them his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened, claiming to be wise. And wisdom is something this religion claims that it has. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and in their foolish hearts, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the Creator rather than the creature rather than the Creator. It goes on in the passage to say that God turns them over to this debased mind. You stop acknowledging God, you will accept all manners of foolishness. And those that are practicing this religion are people who have been turned over to this debased mind. They originally walked into this religion seeking to gain wisdom. They denied God at the beginning of this religion. The further and further they walk in this religion, the further and further they step away from any kind of real, rational wisdom. And they end up doing things they would have never done at the beginning of their journey. But it's kind of like, you know, my friend in World of Warcraft, like, well, I've already invested so much in this. I don't want to give up what I've invested. You don't have anything. You invest your money in the bridge of Scientology. You don't have anything. There's nothing there for you to gain. You can gain everything from walking away from it. But you gain nothing from holding on to nothing. You hold on to nothing as tight as you want. You still have nothing, and that's what you have in this religion of Scientology. It is a selfish, selfish religion. It is one that I believe in many ways takes this from Buddhism. It is all about your journey and your walk and your bridge and about you doing this for yourself and what you can accomplish for you. And they throw in there, oh, we're going to do this for all humanity. But even in that, you can tell there's something in it for the person at the top that's talking about what's going to happen and the power that man on the top has. I close with a couple scriptures, 1 Timothy 6:20 and 21, where Paul writes, "So Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith." We need to guard ourselves from getting tied into Gnostic ideas, coming up with, you know, something beyond what is in the scriptures. And even trying to find something in the scriptures is not even there. Some of those that have gotten into these Bible codes. The next new thing, first off, probably isn't a new thing, and it's probably not a good thing either. When it's filled with, I'm going to take these numbers here, and then, oh, well, look, I can prove this is Bill Clinton was president. That was one of the points they tried to point out. Colossians 2:8. "See to it that no one takes you captive by the philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elementary spirits of the world." Elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. As always, there are two religions. There's man's religion and there's God's religion. Man's religion is going to deny God. It's going to tell you that you can accomplish what you need to accomplish to save yourself. It's always a false religion. It's always going to leave you empty. It will never pay up on the bill of goods that it says that it will. And then you have God's religion, which is Christ in it. Trust in Christ alone. Repent of your sins and trust in Him. And that is the only hope that you have for the consequences of sin within your life. If you want to have any comments or questions, Megan?